Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at EzelAviation.com. That's EzelAviation.com.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The B-29. This weapon, long awaited by the Allies, makes an appearance at an English airstrip. And rival eyes are watching. With the walls of Fortress Europe beginning to falter, the arrival of this powerhouse bomber terrifies the Nazis, spurring the Luftwaffe into action. They need something to defend against it. Something that can fly high, fast, and has some new tricks up its sleeve. The call is answered, and one aircraft stands above all others. Forged in the heart of Nazi Germany, this dark bird may be the perfect answer to the looming threat of America's superfortress. The Emergency Fighter.
This is Warbird Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's that time again. Here, it's Wednesday, June 2nd. My goodness, I can't believe it's already June. Holy cow. June 2nd, 2010, and you're listening here on Warbird Radio live to the Wix Warbird Weekly Radio Show. I, Ryan Keough, with the Wix Warbird Information Forum online at warbirdinformationexchange.org is hosting this evening, as well as my always trusted companion, Mr. Zane Adams. Zane, how are y'all this evening?
Y'all are doing fine. How about you?
Doing good, too.
If you need a weather report, it's Texas and it's hot. So.
Well, hi. I'm calling in from Arizona, so I think I just saw a bird melt into the asphalt over here. So don't make...
you don't have any humidity out there, though, see? So.
What is humidity? I've never heard of that. Is that the stuff that comes out of the back of airplanes when they do the aerobatic routines and stuff?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. See, that stuff doesn't even stay up in the air when we're around here. So, you just see this little spurt, and all of a sudden it's gone. You know, it starts raining over in Taos in some place. But oh well. Well, folks, if you're just tuning in with us for the first time, or if you're a longtime listener, you know the routine. We're here to talk about Warbirds all evening long, or I should say for at least the next hour here at Warbird Radio. We invite you to call us in and talk anything about Warbirds, aviation, air shows, whatever you want to call it, things that you're looking forward to, and just give us a call over here. The studio number is real easy. It's 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. Or if you find yourself a little bit too shy, you can Twitter us by twittering something to @WarbirdRadio. For those of you that are on Twitter, know what that means. And we'll be monitoring that. So if you have any questions, you can ask them over that. Or if you want to go old-fashioned on us and go over to email, we're monitoring Wix, W-I-X, @WarbirdRadio.com. So if any of you have any questions or thoughts, send them our way. We want to hear from you this evening and see what's going on in the Warbird world. It's I said this last week, aviation is in full swing. air show season's in full swing. Everybody seems to be just absolutely up to their elbows in project after project after project. Just getting things together and getting things running smoothly. And I know there's a lot of DC3 operators out there that are getting ready to do that. And I've heard a lot of strife over the past week about some internal politics, some conflict going on between the EAA and the remind me, Zane, I think it's called the last flight or
Last Flight, yeah.
The Last Flight, which is the group that originally had come up with the concept of bringing all the DC-3s and C-47s together in one massive arrival and formation into Air Venture Oshkosh 2010. EAA is claiming on one side that they're doing it out of safety reasons, that they want to control everything in regards to the formation flight and all of the festivities on the ground. And the Last Flight group that was formed just for this are claiming foul on that because of the fact that they were the ones that came up with it, wanted to be able to control what was going on, also send out their invitations and to be able to, you know, kind of work a situation that they had been working a long time to put together. So if anybody out there has some more information on this or has their own comment on this, you know, it's always tough whenever you hear anything related to Warbirds being marred by politics and such. And of course the media just, you know, pokes at it, and I shouldn't say that too much because we are the media technically here. we always hate to hear of anything along those lines. But it seems like it's been pervasive recently. There's been this new upstart online group that is criticizing the happenings of the CAF management and the various bylaws and directors that are over at the CAF, and trying to quote unquote get it back to where it used to be. And for those of you who are not familiar, the CAF is, of course, the Commemorative Air Force, and back in the old Harlingen days was known as the Confederate Air Force. And there's been a lot of hot conversation, a lot of strife going on between those two sides as well. So, you know, 'tis the season. They always say it's spring fever, but I think spring fever definitely is finding its way through the Warbird community these days, especially. Now, Zane, you are a CAF member. If I'm not mistaken, you still are. If I'm not mistaken,
No, I've never been a CAF member.
Oh, okay.
Out there, but I mean, a big long term supporter of them, because, you know, when I was a kid and here in Texas, they were the guys that operated Warbirds. You know, they were synonymous with the Warbird operations, and still are in a lot of places in a lot of ways. But they've got some issues there, and you know, I don't know how far we want to go into it here, but it's spilled over into the Wix forum a little bit. Mm-hmm. One particular thread on there's got a bunch of people talking, and you know, they've got their own little take back the CAF website, that their forum thing that they've started to kind of discuss this stuff. And there's a lot of acrimony there, and from where I sit over here, I really don't understand. You know, there's something to me not being said or not out there that necessarily, you know, speaks of a problem, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense. You know, mm-hmm. So I don't know what they're doing. You know, I know it has to do with their separation. They did some legal separation of the museum and the flying part and the parts that have the, you know, the part that has the actual, owns the actual artifacts and things. So, you know, and that separation has caused some angst at some point here. So, you know, and I don't really understand it all. You know, I'm not close enough to know.
Yeah.
You know, but there are strong feelings on both sides for sure.
That is true. That is true. If you're one of the people that have strong feelings either way, or just have any input on this, or, you know, have come across any situations that, you know, are possibly some bright spots in Warbirds this season so far, give us a call over here again, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. 787-477-4768 is the number to call to get us here live in the studio. So we've got a lot of, you know, we would love to hear from you early on here and get the conversations going. Another good note coming back to the CAF, but a good note on this side is that it looks like as of this weekend, all four engines on Fifi, the B-29 Super Fortress, that has been languishing for several years waiting for retrofitted engines to be outfitted on board the aircraft, as Brad Pilgrim was mentioning to us last week. All four engines ran on the ground this weekend, and it looks like they're on a good steady stream to get the airplane back up in ship-shape condition and fly it for hopefully getting it ready for air show and maybe something even sooner. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. That's real exciting news. That's been a long, long time coming. You know, there, and then to me, you know, I think it's a sign of what the CAF is capable of with their outreach. I know they've had, you know, Kavanaugh was a big benefactor in helping this get done, and you know, they had to stretch a little bit to make it happen, but it has happened. That thing, you know, there's a lot of people out there said that, that airplane will never fly again, you know, that this was too big of a job. And by golly, they've done it. You know, it's not back up in the air yet, but if it's sitting on the ground all buttoned up and all four engines running, it's it's a whole lot better than a lot of airplanes out there. So, you know, I'm excited about seeing Fifi fly again.
Exactly. Sure. And one of the things that really excites me about that specific project, and again, give us a call here, folks, 478-787-4768, 478-787-4768. One of the things that really excites me about that specific airplane is it's kind of like one of the first what will be kind of the large warbirds to have a pretty dramatic modification on it to keep it flying, but at the same time keeping it in realistic in basically the same kind of look. I mean, it's they're basically the same nacelles. There's differences in the way that the accessory section is bolted on, basically things that make this dash number of a 3350 completely, you know, a lot more reliable than the early dash number that they had, which that was always the problem with Fifi for many years, was the fact that it was marred by engine issues for many, many years.
I think B-29s were marred from day one with engine issues.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen pictures of Saipan and Tinian with just piles and piles of engines, you know. And those guys, you know, a lot of times those engines would make one trip to Japan. And sometimes some engines wouldn't even make it that far. So, you know, they had problems. You know, it was an engineering nightmare to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a pretty advanced machine for its time, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
But to make it, you know, 60 years later with those same engines is a miracle in itself. So.
Yeah, it'll be great to see where it goes from here, and what else we see possibly take flight over the next couple of years. You know, we certainly have seen, you know, the modifications that have been done to racing airplanes like the Reno Racers, and you know, radically changing the look of the airplane itself. But, you know, as components and as engines start to, you know, kind of, you know, become, go the way of the dodo, I mean, you're going to have to start to see these kind of hybrid builds to make things really work. And I'm excited. I'd like to see how this all goes. I'd like to see how the performance is on the airplane, how the reliability is over the period of time. And you know, heavens knows they need to get that airplane out there and touring as soon as they possibly can, because you know, B-24 has been kind of lonely out there for a while. So.
Oh yeah, you talk about performance. From everything I understand and have read and talked to people about it, I think it's going to be a hot rod. You know, it's going to have a lot more power than any B-29 ever has, and you know, it will have plenty of performance, I think. So. You know, it would be some stuff that those guys flying off the islands out there sure would have liked to have had.
That's true. And we happen to know that that the product that comes out of Ezel Aviation over in Breckenridge, they like to build them fast. So
yeah,
there it goes. Well, it looks like we've got a caller holding here. Wait, caller, this is you're speaking to Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Who's this?
Hey, this is Brad.
Hey, Brad, how are you doing?
Hi, Brad.
Oh, poking along, sweating out here, and the humidity here in Altus is ridiculous.
Feels good outside, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh. Outside it does. In the garage, it's just brutal.
The only problem is that, you know, out here with such dry, I almost want humidity, because I woke up this morning and my nose felt like Tripoli, for God's sakes. I mean, it was horrible. But anyways, going from there, I think Brad, you were the guy that I ended up seeing the pictures of Fifi on one of your pages that I believe got posted there, and you were sitting inside the airplane, so it was taken from the outside, I think.
Yeah, I was riding the brakes in the left seat, and my wife was standing outside. She took most of the pictures that have been posted from the outside. We originally ran it on, the day before Memorial Day. We ran it for, 30 minutes or so, made sure everything ran fine, and didn't want to embarrass ourselves come show day. And it cranked right up, on Memorial Day when the crowd was out there to see us. We had probably 700 or 800 people out there to watch, and obviously, with any other airplane that you do this kind of maintenance on, we have a few issues yet to resolve. Nothing insurmountable, just a few things need to be re-rigged and a couple of gremlins to chase down. But I think it's well on the way to flying here pretty soon.
That's fantastic. Now, what is left? I mean, obviously the squawks of the engines and all that stuff, but what else? Structurally with the airplane, are there systems that need to be overhauled? Are you, what other major milestones are going to have to be met before the airplane takes to the skies again at this point?
Yeah. Well, really, from what I can think of offhand, the major things we have left outside of the engine work that yet to be completed is the annual's pretty much sewed up. We have to reweigh the airplane and do all the weight and balance and jack it up, do the gear retraction test and that sort of thing. There's quite a bit of weight difference in the old engines and the new engines, and with the propellers and all being, a couple inches forward of where they were, the CG's changed considerably. So that's really the main thing aircraft-wise needs to be done. With the engines, we've got a starter that doesn't really like to turn very well. It may be a relay or something. We haven't quite chased that down yet. And then, a few things need to be safety or whatever, and it just generally needs a real close looking over to make sure that nothing's been left laying undone for the last 5 years it's been.
Wow. Well, certainly I know that it's been in good care. It has been in good care since she went down for such a long period of time. So I'm sure that if there are parts that needed to be preserved or things that needed to be buttoned up before it was put on long-term storage for a while, I'm sure it was done that way. And, it just was so nice seeing all the engines running again. That was probably one of the bright spots of my weekend when I saw that. I said, oh, thank God.
I'll tell you, all of us were sitting inside the airplane. There was three of us inside the airplane and two outside on the wire whenever we cranked it up on Memorial Day, and between the five of us there was more than one tear shed over the entire ordeal. It's quite a relief to get that much metal all working the same direction at once.
I can imagine. Well, my hat's off to you guys for everybody who spent even an hour working on that airplane over the course of the last 5-6 years now, and anybody who was working on it before that time, hats off to keeping the last flying B-29 Super Fortress in the air, and getting her ready to meet the next century and fly well on and beyond that too. So now the one question I have is that I know that you personally have some experience with large aircraft heritage flights. Has there been talk to anybody over at ACC about possibly putting together a B-29 and large current inventory bomber heritage flight at some point?
Well, I know just prior to the B-29 actually being grounded 5 years ago, there was actually a plan made to fly the stealth bomber and Fifi and one or two others in a big formation, and having the ground of the airplane kind of brought that to a halt. I am sure that once all the test program is done and we've got a proven airplane, I won't be a bit surprised to see another attempt at a heritage flight like that. Fortunately, me being an AETC guy, I don't deal with ACC very often, so but I figure there's probably a plan to do a heritage flight like that. They wouldn't stand by and miss that kind of publicity for ACC.
I'm sure not. But you know, certainly, if anything else, we can probably get a couple of C-17 Heritage flights in there someplace with her at some point. So gotta take pictures somewhere.
If nothing comes up drastic between now and then, at Oshkosh, we're planning on doing a three C-47s and a C-17 Heritage flight via four-ship with Goony Birds and us. And hopefully, if all goes well, hopefully Fifi will be there too. So I doubt there'll be a Heritage flight involving her at that air show, but maybe she'll be there to see it.
Hell, just having her there in the first place would be great. So that's
that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, speaking of C-17s, you weren't in Fort Worth yesterday doing touch and goes, were you?
No, I wasn't. I wish I was, okay. But unfortunately, I was strapped to a desk yesterday.
There was an Altus C-17 flying around Alliance Airport for about an hour yesterday. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to fly a considerable amount from Altus to ever find any terrain to fly around, to find a tree to avoid or anything, so we like to go other places.
That's true. I think I followed one for about 17 miles and never lost sight of it, even though it was like 70 miles away from me. But
that's like just driving back into Altus. You can actually leave other parts of Oklahoma heading back toward Altus, and 36 miles away you can see the hangars. Out here at the base, it's such a flat area. So,
wow,
lovely country. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
You know, speaking of lovely country, I just wanted to touch base on it. You wrapped up Gary's estate sale. And it looks like I know you said it on Wix, and I'd like to throw it out to all those Wix members that are listening. That thanks to Wix folks, I guess, for that they had a lot to do with raising a bunch of money for Gary's estate there. And thank you, Brad, for taking that job. It's a thankless job to do, but I'm sure I appreciate you doing it for sure.
Oh, that's kind of y'all to say. And I assure you, Wix had everything to do with the success of this. It's like I said in my post, 90% of the stuff sold was sold either to Wix people or because of Wix people. So between Wix and my wife, I've got a lot of people to be thankful for getting this entire thing behind me.
Well, I know we're all thankful of you, Brad, and appreciate the support and help you gave to the entire effort too. I know it was a very, very difficult thing for you, but like we said last week, he's looking down and he's looking proud on you. We appreciate it. So.
No, I appreciate that.
So, well, it's great hearing from you, Brad. Any other interesting news from your neck of the woods in busy in metropolitan Oklahoma? Any other Warbird related stuff that you're hearing through the grapevine at all?
No, metropolitan Oklahoma is about 150 miles away from here, so there's nothing going on in this part of the country, Warbird wise, that's for sure. But if I hear anything, I'll let y'all know.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Brad. Thanks for calling in tonight, and you have yourself a good week.
All right. See you later.
Take care.
See ya.
Well, it's 23 minutes after the hour here at the Wix Warbird Weekly Live radio show. You can give us a call here, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. And if you are catching us late, you can always hear our rebroadcasts throughout the week on warbirdradio.com. And also, you can pick up our podcast as soon as it's available, usually the very next day, and you can listen to it in the car or wherever you want to. Just pick it up again from warbirdradio.com, and you'll be able to listen to Zane and I and our guest banter on for who knows how long. So, but it's definitely it was great hearing from Brad, and it's certainly I'm looking forward to Oshkosh. Another big air show that's coming through this coming weekend, and I kicked myself because I never was able to make it there while I was still on the East Coast, is the World War II commemorative weekend up at Reading, Pennsylvania, at the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum, which our a Steam producer is going to be going to and broadcasting from and taking in all that is the splendor of the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum, and Lucky Dog is going to get a chance to see that P-61 Black Widow under restoration. So that's going
to be... They're supposed to have it out on the ramp, aren't they?
I believe so. Yeah. I believe so. With the booms on it now, I guess all that's lacking really is wing assemblies and engines and a lot of interior guts, obviously, but still the triumph of the fact that kind of an effort was placed forward to recover that airplane in the first place, restore it, and then eventually fly it is really a fantastic story. And you could listen to it at Warbird Radio. Matt had the opportunity to visit or to interview folks from Mid-Atlantic Air Museum. Are dealing with that project and it's a fantastic listen to, so definitely get that going. And also it looks like we're going to have several other Wixers that are going to be at the event too. I know we always seem to have a whole bunch of them scattered all over the place, so hopefully this is going to be the time that we get a whole group of people together and we can get a big old Wix meetup up there. I know Zach from Oshkosh and Chris is going to be there, Chris from Elkhart, and anybody else who is a Wix member, get on to the forum or post on Warbird Radio, say that you're going to be there, and let's make some plans, get you guys together and take a picture, so at least I can live vicariously through the Kodachrome or whatever they call it these days on the the internet.
it's all digital now.
It is all digital. I know. I just just don't take my Kodachrome away. So that's gonna be. Yep. And for those of you who haven't been to the event, Zane, I'm guessing that you haven't made it that far up north of the Mason-Dixon line to be able to.
No. I try not to go up that way.
Yeah, I realize there are still some bitter feelings about all that. And, just leaving Texas itself is kind of tough, I know, but
yeah,
but it's like stepping back in time. I mean, there are literally, you know, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of reenactors of every sort of variety, from the Andrews sisters all the way down to the grunts, to the Marines, to the Air Force, the Air Corps, the Navy, and the Axis forces as well. I mean, they're all encamped up there, ground vehicles all over the place. I mean, it is literally like stepping back in time, and some people have actually joked that it can sometimes be a lot like Guadalcanal because it always seems to rain up there. So for those of you who are connected to the rain gods or God, please tell them, don't let our producer get rained on this weekend. He's got a lot of really sensitive audio equipment, and we wouldn't want any of that getting, you know, in any trouble. So please let this air show be dry for once. So,
well, that's what's cool about this show, from what I've seen in the past, that it is more than just an air show. It is the ground stuff they've got going on, the reenactors, the camps, that kind of stuff. Like, you know, it's a Renaissance fair for World War II, so to speak. You know,
I'm not eating the turkey leg. So
yeah, I bet they have turkey legs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, or at least a big pot of spam or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks like a great time. You know, I know they have Warbird rides and some other stuff going on there. I think there's a Stearman that you can ride in, which would be great fun for most of us.
Yep.
And but yeah, there's all kinds of neat stuff. I think their website has posted that the Dauntless, the SBD-5 Dauntless, may have a gunner seat open on that weekend. So that's a pretty rare ride right there. It's a little pricey, but it's a rare deal to ride in a Dauntless for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So,
hey, Zane, yeah, Ryan, it's your producer.
Yes, sir.
Matt. Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to jump in here because I was out at the Dauntless, and I go way back, for one, to my childhood. But that particular airplane was based in Corpus Christi before the Dixie Wing got it. And now that's my wing for the CAF. We're at the Dixie Wing here. And I was out there this weekend. The Dauntless is, I think it's already there. It was not in the hangar, so it's already in Redding, giving rides the whole weekend. And Red Nose, of course, the first airplane the CAF ever owned. It looks like I got an email today, and the engine is running, and God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll have it up there as well this weekend, giving rides. So,
cool.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. And I'm telling you, Zane, you're absolutely right. A ride in that Dauntless is truly something that few people can say that they've been able to do. So, yeah, definitely well worth the money. Get in there and go get a good ride in that airplane. So,
well, they've got the Helldiver up there. It's supposed to be up there giving rides too, and that's just too. I mean, you can't get much rarer than that.
No.
Than those two airplanes. It's spectacular. First time I've ever heard of those being available for that kind of opportunity.
Well, the Dauntless is a really great restoration. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but there's some pictures of it up on our website. But, I mean, the Dixie Wing guys and gals really deserve a pat on the back for keeping that airplane up. I mean, they have really done a terrific job, and it's just as authentic as they come. So, my own two cents, but what a great airplane. So,
I completely agree. Got a chance to sit in the gunner's seat in the back, and it was exactly like what it was during World War II. And I mean, right now, what is there? There's only two of them currently flying, and there's only one Helldiver that's flying. And of course, there's some interesting new information coming over the Helldiver channels, not from the CAF side, but we'll be talking a little bit more about that in our second half. But yeah, it is. And the one thing I will also say too that we forgot to mention here too is that it is a wonderful opportunity to go out because it is a very, very well attended show by veterans, veterans of World War II, veterans of Korea, and they go through great lengths to make sure that they're taken care of, comfortable, right. They have a chance to meet with the public and such. So I can't think of a better tail on from a wonderful Memorial Day weekend than to go out to the World War II weekend out at Reading and meet some of the heroes that made these airplanes the famous aircraft that they are today. So
it's going to be a fun weekend. That's for sure.
It is. I am so jealous of you. I can tell you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Me too.
Well, I am jealous.
It's going to be a good time. And of course, if you can't be there, we'll have the live broadcast on Friday morning for Warbird Radio Live from right there in the big hangar. So
exactly.
Come
and
on
you'll
out.
Be taking plenty, and you'll be taking plenty of pictures. I know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So,
putting those pictures up in videos and everything else. So.
Lots of features.
Well,
we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come right back at you in a few minutes here. We're still taking your calls again, 478-787-4768, 478-787-4768, to give us a call here at Wix Warbird Weekly Live or email us, wix@warbirdradio.com. We'll be back with you in a few minutes. It's 32 minutes after the hour.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
It is a discovery thought lost to war and time. Hidden for decades, buried deep in German soil, are the plans for a bomber aircraft. A flying machine with roots in a light transport plane of a curious design. It is a design with ties to the earliest aircraft. A concept that emphasizes stability. An aircraft that, before long, vanishes into history. But German engineers have ideas for its use and twist it into a weapon of war. A platform with which they hope to bomb their enemies into submission and resurrect the German Empire to its former glory. And they are not alone in pursuing these backwards canard planes for deadly purposes. As war begins and aircraft production ramps up, England too looks to tail first designs with which to wage war. Other nations are not far behind in pursuit of a tail first plane that can meet their needs. Journey through the history of these unusual aircraft. Canards of War.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Our thanks to Ezel Aviation for generously supporting Warbird Radio. To find out more, visit them online at ezelaviation.com. Izzellaviation.com. That's Izzellaviation.com.
We've got your six. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in.
Take off.
Well, hello, folks. We're back here with Wix Warbird Weekly live here at WarbirdRadio.com. I'm your host, Ryan Keough, along with my co-host, Zane Adams, as usual. We're here talking warbirds and anything related to air shows and aviation of military past here this evening, and we are taking your calls. Again, give us a call here at the studio live. If you're listening to us, it's 35 minutes after the hour on the 2nd, but if you're listening to us on a rebroadcast, you don't have to call in right now. Who knows? But you can catch us every week here Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time. But give us a call here in the studios, 478-787-4768. 478-787-4768. Looks like we've got a caller holding currently. Caller, welcome to Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Who do we have here?
Is this Ryan?
This is.
Oh, hi, Ryan. It's Bill Greenwood.
Hey, Bill. It's been a long time. My goodness. How are you doing, sir?
Okay. I don't have any big question other than how do I get the show on? I can't seem to get it to come on the computer. I don't know whether it's my computer or my fumbling ability with computers.
Well, it sometimes requires a little bit of fumbling around. If you go to warbirdradio.com and click on the button up in the corner, the top right corner, right. That says listen online. Don't do it while we're on the phone, because it'll create a nasty feedback problem there too. But usually click on that, and then it will bring up an additional screen. So if you got any pop up blockers, just make sure the pop up blockers aren't on, and it'll bring up an extra screen, and it'll start playing right there for you. So
okay, what is the button in the corner that you click?
It's the one that looks like a little radio equalizer going up and
down. Okay.
It says listen now.
Yep, listen now. And you should be able to listen to us yak away right now. So okay. How has the summer been treating you, Bill?
Well, it's okay. It's just kind of getting started, I guess. I haven't been doing too much aviation stuff, but would like to kind of still have an interest in it. One of the controllers the other day asked me when he was going to see my plane back in the air. So, anyway,
that's how's everything with you guys? $64,000 question.
Yeah, it's. I know a lot of people are missing it on the air show circuit, so we're hoping for the best on that one. I know it's hard to say right now, but I know it's in good hands at this point with the folks down there in Colorado, and we certainly support you, Bill, and hope to get. Help you in any way we can to get it back up in the air and back up flying again. We may be able to see you back up in Geneseo again, hopefully.
That would be nice. That's a nice environment up there. I just saw on the Oshkosh forum that they've got supposedly two Focke-Wulfs coming to Oshkosh. That'll be an interesting event. I don't know how they'll be coming, whether it's by air or by truck, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it might be. Well, I'm guessing that probably Mr. Frasca has a stake in one of those, because he's always been a supporter of the Oshkosh air shows and brought up a lot of his airplanes in the past. So I'm guessing that
one of them is listed is Rudy's, and I would be real surprised if it was flying, but I guess it's possible. But I don't know about the other one. I don't know what's one from Florida or whether it's actually flying or what the situation is.
Yeah, I don't know. That one's still pretty much taken apart. We shall see. Some of these places they keep the curtains pretty well pretty closed tight until the big show. So,
and who is your guest there tonight?
Actually, myself and Zane Adams. You know him on the forum.
Oh, I thought Z-Tex. I'm sorry. I misread it. I thought you had another man. I don't know if I could pronounce his name, Baranitskis or something.
Yeah,
like that.
We were going to have Chris Bernaskis on with us this evening, the P-51 member of the Vandy 1 team, but unfortunately he had some family personal issues that he had to attend with, so he's letting us have a rain check at least at this time, but we'll have him on again.
That's one real reason nice. I was calling. I don't know him personally, but just was going to be interested in hearing what he had to say.
Yeah. Well, we'll certainly keep you updated.
Well, I won't take all your time. Hopefully, probably you have some other callers waiting, I guess.
Well, I appreciate you calling in, Bill, and hope you have a great week.
How are things out there in warm country?
Oh, it's warmer than warm out here, and perfect time to come out and do some sailplane work. So if you come down, let me know.
I have flown the gliders at Boulder a little recently, but I want to go do it some more. So, all right. Well, thank you very much. You guys take it easy then.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Take care. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bill Greenwood calling in with from Aspen, Colorado here, and he is the owner of Spitfire, a two-seat converted Spitfire, and it's currently under restoration in Fort Collins, Colorado. So we're glad to hear his voice this evening. He's been a longtime Wix member as well. We talk about airplanes like Bill's, who it's currently under restoration. Then we've got other airplanes that are, it looks like, going to be taking the skies fairly soon here. I was excited to see that the B-25 Apache Princess in the Fantasy of Flight collection has been wheeled into the maintenance hangar, and they're getting her prepped to put her on flying status for this year. One of the most original B-25s you'll ever see restored in flying condition. It really is a beautiful airplane, so I'm glad to see that they're going to be flying that this summer.
Kermit, I don't know how he operates things down there, and I think nobody else really does, but he's got a bug about B-25s and is going to run the annual on it and get it up and going, and that's pretty exciting to hear for sure.
That's, absolutely.
There's another a four engine airplane down there. I'd sure like to see him fly. But the B-24, we'll see.
That's true. Well, yeah, I think he's got a very measured approach. He's been growing that facility down there for a little bit at a time. Has obviously more airplanes than he can put through the restoration shops. But I believe that he's building the essence of what it was like around the aircraft themselves, and the aircraft will come in due time. And I'm just very glad that he allows folks to experience the airplanes, see them flying. He has a daily flyer that goes up in the air and gets a chance to run it around the patch, that kind of thing. Plus, it's probably the most gorgeous grass strip I've ever seen in my life, and so I was blessed to be able to land in a B-24 on that grass. It was the Collings' B-24 at dusk, and it's something that you can't even experience. Normally you feel that whoomp of you're sitting on the ground. Now all of a sudden it just kind of glided on. It was like landing on butter. So it was like butter.
So that's what landing on the fairway feels like, I guess.
Pretty much. Although if you're landing on a fairway, something's gone really wrong.
Golf courses. I've landed at 150 on grass before, and it was kind of a noisy affair. So
that's true. Little tiny wheels, going through there. Those big, huge, round donut tires on a B-24. Just whoomp. That's all it is.
Sure.
So you don't want to be the divot replacer after that, though. That's the only problem. I need a truck over here. the other really cool thing that I came across this week, which I was really happy to see too, and thank goodness the Navy has changed their tune in regards to recovering aircraft. We've got we were talking earlier about the CAF's Hell Diver, the SB-2C Hell Diver, that is a flyable aircraft, but it looks as though there will be a recovery of an SB-2C -4 Hell Diver that crashed into the lower Otay Reservoir just outside of San Diego, California, in late May of 1945. Actually, it's been about it's been 65 years. It looks like they're going to be bringing the services of the well experienced A&T recovery group out of Chicago to come over and do the recovery, and it would be done on behalf of the Naval Aviation Museum, and would be put into their collection and restored. Obviously the first goal is to get it recovered and see what you got. Second goal is to get it restored. So, but it's good to hear that an airplane that landed in a freshwater lake, maybe, from what I see from the photos, it looks, pretty much intact.
It's still got paint, still got Navy stenciled on the tail. I mean, it's amazing.
It really is. And you talk about an airplane that was one of the unsung aircraft of World War II. You know, Curtiss had a couple of superstars and had a couple of kind of well, not so superstar airplanes, and the SB-2C kind of got a bad reputation, but certainly in its rarity and its size, its mere size too. I mean, it's well, I would say it's probably about the size when you put it next to a Sky Raider. It's probably very, very close in terms of size.
Yeah, just a little shorter on the gear, I think, but it's a big airplane.
Very, very much so, and for 1940s technology, for an airplane that size to be built and to be flown around and landing on carriers, taking off of carriers, and it wasn't the smooth kind of transitions like you get these days. It was pretty rough landings back then too. So it certainly earned its place in history. So we're glad to see that that'll be coming back up and being brought back into the restoration ranks, hopefully in the near future as well. So, it's been actually a very, very good week for Warbirds when it comes right down to it. We've got a lot of activity over on the forum too. It looks like the Kalamazoo Air Zoo is going to be offering free airplane rides to veterans over this summer. Any veterans who served during World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War are going to get the chance to take a flight in their N2S-5 Cadet, also known as the Boeing Stearman. And I know I'm going to catch heck from end-to-end Jeff for mentioning yet again another Stearman, but
it's a fine airplane though.
It's a fine airplane, great airplane to fly and a great airplane to experience flight in. So beginning June 29th, veterans are going to be able to take flight in the Stearman courtesy of the Air Zoo and the pilot sponsor Alan Wright, who is giving veterans this opportunity. They're going to be taking place Tuesdays and Wednesdays through September 1st, weather permitting. But I think that's a great start to, you know, hopefully what will become a trend of getting our veterans the opportunity to fly on the airplanes that they may have experienced during the war before, you know, unfortunately, time takes its ugly toll and you know, takes them away from us at this point. So good kudos to the Kalamazoo Air Zoo for doing that.
Yeah, oh yeah. So. Well, it's good to hear that they've got some airplanes flying. I know they used to fly a bunch, and then they've put things away, you know, and to have another airplane to fly again up there, that's good news, too. And then to do it for this cause is great. It really is. I think it's a way to go. You know, I know the Collings Foundation lets the ground tour folks, lets veterans in for free. There's a lot of that kind of stuff going on, and, you know, they deserve a little bit here and there.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just got an email from our friendly N3N lover, Jeff Houghton, let me know that at the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum during the World War II weekend, they're also giving rides in an N3N. So if you want to take a flight in the Yellow Peril, you can compare between the Stearman and the N3N and see what the difference is. Heck, go up for a ride in both of them and get the full experience off of it too. So he encourages people to take a look at the N3N while it's out there and get a chance to ride in as well. So let's see. And then goodness, I just lost my train of thought. That's, you know, the supply train's gone. It's just completely gone. So
well, you get worried about Jeff, and don't worry about him.
Yeah, of course. He gets me all flustered. I But definitely a I've never flown on an N3N, so I shouldn't really speak ill of the Yellow Peril. It's just a, you know, nudge every once in a while.
Sure. So. Oh yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun. Hey, I noticed there was another thing that the folks, I guess, that are dealing with Swamp Ghost have put out a call to try to get a hold of the members that were on that crew that ditched that Air B-17 in New Guinea in World War II. And I just noticed that this afternoon on the forum. Take a look on the forum there and look for Swamp Ghost. Help contact crew's families. I there may not be any crew left, but their families and things. I think Swamp Ghost wants to try to help honor them and their crew members and their families there. So that's a tall order for sure. But they've got the names of the crew there, and they know who they are. So.
Yeah, that will definitely be that's going to be a challenge, you know, certainly after the Maxwell Air Force Base fire back in the 60s, where a lot of military records were lost, it becomes a big problem to find records of any sort of serviceman history. So it certainly is a noble effort, and look forward to hopefully there are results of that happening. And I'm looking forward to actually seeing the airplanes possibly someplace here in Arizona sometime soon here, but we'll see.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're gonna actually sign off here for this week. We appreciate you again tuning in here for Wick's Warbird Weekly Live here at Warbird Radio. Join us again next week, next Wednesday, as usual, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Time, or Arizona Time if you're like me. And we'll be talking airplanes, warbirds, anything you want to talk about, you can give us a call. So stay tuned for it, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, folks. Good night.
Hello. Hello, Matt. Are you sure this thing's on?
Yeah, Don, the mic is hot.
Oh, okay. Let me show you how to lay this down.
Hi, it's Don Kennedy, host of Big Ben Jump, and you're listening to Wick's After Hours.
Well, right. Don.
I was waiting for you, right? Are you there?
I was going to say, well, Don, I don't know what to say about that. You make me tremble when you say that. Do a little space ghost for me. I would appreciate it.
Brack,
are you there? Brack, where are you?
I tried calling Gordon Bowman-Jones to have him redo that for us. We'll see. Maybe we can get him on.
Would be cool.
Either Gordon or Hugh or somebody cool like that.
Turning around bylaw number 14.
Yeah.
Wick's After Hours is taking the lead.
Like Foster Brooks, man.
Yeah, well, I did. Well, yeah. You don't realize that my Bowman Jones is a little Foster Brooks at times. And apologies, Gordon. I do really do love your voice and stuff, but I just can't replicate it at all. So, anyways,
for those welcome, of you, folks. For those of you still listening to the show tonight, the five of you that are probably still there tonight, no, there's more. No, we're having a good time. This Wick's After Hours just kind of relaxed the recap of the entire show tonight. And I'm looking forward to it, guys. The big Reading, PA show leaving here in just a matter of hours to head that way after the show tomorrow morning. It's a quick turnaround and out the door. So
sounds like a great weekend, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Now, are you driving? You're driving up, I'm guessing.
No, I'm flying up. Going to fly up and then drive the rest of the way. So, busy day, but so anyway, that's the plan, man. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the guys. I hope they stop by. I don't think it'll be real difficult to find us there. I'll be in Gary Velasco's booth, and just look for the giant nose art piece hanging up, the B-24 panel. So.
Yeah, I mean you can't miss Gary's booth at all. Usually the shininess kind of draws you away and stuff. And Gary's a great guy, really talented artist too. So I'm glad glad you're gonna be in good company. Plus, those big pieces of aluminum really work as good wind breaks.
Yeah, and if it rains, it'll be in the hangar, so that'll be nice.
Rain.
Gary and I were talking about that this morning. He came on the live show this morning. I said, he said it always rains. He said the reenactors love it because it makes it more realistic to what they were experiencing. So there you go.
The Bouncing Betty. It flies better when it's a bit muddy outside. Oh, great! Why do you have a live Bouncing Betty? Okay.
You know what? I all kidding aside, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Lancaster fly. I'm hoping they make that happen, and that should be a lot of fun. So.
Is this your first time?
I've never seen that fly. So
neither one of you guys have seen it fly?
Oh, no.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I guess I was lucky when I was real young. 1989, saw my first Lank fly, and my God, There's just not. I mean, for those of you that are listening, I mean, you probably have a better adjective for this, but there's really nothing that you can say to replicate the sound of a Lancaster flying. You know, those four Merlin engines. I mean, good God, you know, this. You don't get anything sexier than that.
Yes. Yeah. I did see the Shackleton fly back in Harlingen when they still had it out there, and that was really cool to see too. But you know, counter rotating props and everything, but that was pretty cool. But not the Lancaster. I've never seen that. So looking forward to seeing that really historic airplane up in the air. And of course, how cool is that with about Fifi? That's just great news. You know, I mean, that really is great news to hear that. She's going to be back up in the air, maybe even at Oshkosh. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah,
so
that would be
that was a little bomb that Brad dropped.
Yeah,
earlier,
yeah. So. Well, I think everybody like kind of saw it coming, you know. But
yeah, oh yeah,
everybody can hope.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody said it yet, so you know.
No, that's true. That's true.
We got the scoop here.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
There you go. There you go. On the Wix show.
Heard it live here, ladies and gentlemen.
Wix. As always, Wix gets the scoop as always. So yeah, that's cool news though, and you know, and it looks like. God willing, we're going to be able to do the Wix show live from Zach Boffman's backyard. So how cool will that be?
That'll be great. You know, we might get a little tipsy on a couple of the local brews up there. So, well, I mean,
what else is new, though? You know what I mean?
That's true.
All systems go, as far as I'm concerned. So for this show.
I've been sniffing Jet A fumes all day long here, I guess. makes it all in worthwhile in the end. So,
but Zane, we will pop you up there with the Skype there and get you right in. So no worries on that. And you can join the fun and... just wish you were there in person, but that's just the way it goes. So,
yeah,
oh yeah,
I understand.
We'll send the Warbird Radio hovercraft down for you.
Right.
We bought it really cheap from Orbitz last week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? How cool!
It has a bit of a controllability problem, but you'll get used to it after a little while. So
we couldn't afford the little guy in the blue suit, but other than that,
okay. Well, rats.
Yeah. What a fun weekend, though! I can't wait, and I know that there's so much going on around the country this weekend as far as air shows. This is really, you know, we're in the big summer push right now because. July, it sort of starts slowing down a little bit. July, August, and then September, man, it's right back up again. So
yeah, it goes in peaks and valleys. I mean, of course, you know, thankfully we've got Geneseo to look forward to in July, which is great. But then you've got the big Oshkosh is right after that point. I mean, but I you know, and heck, I haven't even mentioned it this year, but I mean, Thunder Over Michigan, another big show.
What a huge one. Yeah.
Oh, and I've never been able to make it out for that one too. So hopefully this year will be if my benefactor is listening, nod. I'd like to go to that one too, but I don't think that's who knows? Who knows? It might be.
I know they're working real hard on Chucky here locally to get her up and running and go up there and hang out with all the other B-17s. You know, see all those B-17s together again would sure be something to see.
Oh yeah, and get Texas Raiders back in that mix, boy. That's the that's like the 87 flyover at Mud Island. I mean, I feel like you know, an upper Minnesotan. You remember back in 87 when the bear flew through? Back in the
I don't want to talk about that. I missed that ride. I was crewing with Chucky at the time, and I could not wrangle out of work to be able to get off to go do that, and was really kind of upset. So thanks a lot for bringing that bad memory up.
No, that's okay. I was only 7 years old at the time, and I don't think I was out of training pants yet, so that's all right.
Oh, okay. All right.
If that makes you feel any better. No?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. It makes me feel great. But yeah, maybe there'd be three Texas B-17s in Michigan, and you know, I think it'd be great if we could get three Texas B-17s to Midland in October as well. So
that would be good. I know that Sentimental Journey, she's flying all over. She's got her schedule plopped out, and you know, engines willing and all things going. She'll be flying all around the Midwest this year, so be good to have her, you know, flying around and hopefully for a little bit maybe being escorted by the B-25 that they've got over there too. So that'll be nice to have a two ship again for the hardworking folks over at the Arizona CAF wing. So my local guys, my homies. So
It's going to be a busy summer, that's for sure. And yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody up there this weekend, and of course seeing you guys here real soon. But that's going to be a great time, and I hate to do it, but we're out of time tonight, guys. Can you believe it? It's flown by. We got to get Zane out of here on time, and we got stuff to do. And
sorry about that.
No, it's not your fault. We've got a lot to do. I've got to do some. I have actually got to do some tests tonight. So on the old live broadcast system for this big event this weekend. So we're going to try that, and just got a lot of stuff going on, but it's going to be fun times this weekend, and of course the Wick Show next week. Maybe we'll get Chris back on.
We'll see if that'll
happen. But
we'll try hard to get him back on and get him
someone.
Talking about Andy One. Yeah, well, I think we got a couple. I got a couple of people then in my back pocket. I might be able to pull it.
There you go.
All right, guys.
All right.
Good night, Ryan.
Good night. Good night, Matt.
Good night, Zane. Yeah.
Good night, Matt.
Yeah. Good night, John. Good night, Bill. Good night, Chris. If you're listening to us in the tower, get back to work. And
yes. Yeah. Good night. Good night, Jeff. Go tuck the N3N in.
Good night to John Bronner and Paul Gordon and all those faithful listeners out there.
Yeah, everybody.
John Little, everybody. Yeah. Good night to all of our family out there.
Good night, John Boy. Yeah. Good night, Don Kennedy, wherever you may be in Radio Land. So I always imagine him like in a dark studio somewhere, you know, smoking his cigarette in the middle of the night, you know, just doing long distance big band requests. So
yeah.
This one goes out to another friend of mine this evening. Yeah. All right. Have a great night, guys. We'll talk to you next week and see you around the bend here real soon.
Sounds good. Take care, folks. Have a great weekend and always keep them flying.
Good night, Zane.
Good night.
All right. Bye, guys.
Good night, Milton.
We'll see you. We'll be right back.